You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
How many of y'all have gotten something out of this series on sexual healing? Have I got anything out of it? Good. I have too, actually. I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed preaching this series. I was asked to make one quick announcement. And that is this. We've got a couple of ladies in the church, and I can't remember who they're supposed to be right now, but I know Vicky Perry's one of them, and I'm pretty sure Beverly Carter's another one. Anytime there's a woman involved in something at the church, it's probably Beverly Carter, so I'm very easy just to say that. And who else? And Rose McChesney. I would like these lovely ladies to please stand on your feet and be totally embarrassed right now. Go ahead. If y'all gonna make me stand up and say stuff, I'm gonna make you stand up. These guys are guilty by association. These guys are helping us put together a lunch for next week. We're actually doing a lunch after church. This is our first time we've done a lunch after church for the whole church, right? That's good. I guess. I hope it's good. Hope y'all cook good. We're about to find out, or you buy good food. So these guys need you. If you're going to be bringing something, they want you to sign up. They specifically said we can't have everybody bring green beans. And so, like, they want some variety. So we need some people to bring corn. So make sure you sign up so we don't have all of one thing. This morning, we are going to end our series on sexual healing, and this message today is called Don't Fight Alone. Everybody say, Don't Fight Alone. Don't fight alone. It's always better to fight with someone else. You look weird when you're fighting by yourself. We want to show you, though, before we get started this morning, a little video. So I want you to watch this. It's kind of cool. This is called The Battle at Kruger. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I hope you enjoy this. Go ahead, guys. Like my boy, the water buffalo, is getting attacked by lions, and then the next thing he knows, he's getting bitten by a crocodile, and they're playing tug of war with his body. That's intense. That's a tough place to be. And the reason I wanted to show that this morning is because I believe that that's exactly what the enemy wants to do with you today. He wants to take something that God created to be good, sex, and he wants it to be something that he can use to utterly destroy you. And sometimes we find ourselves in that position where what we feel like is the enemy pulling on us one way, and even our past pulling on us another way, and it's like we find no way of escape, and we feel stuck. We may be stuck in temptation. We may be stuck in a cycle of sin. We may be stuck in our thoughts, but we feel stuck sometimes in between two enemies. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. The Bible says he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He seeks to destroy everything that you have, everything that you are. The enemy wants to destroy that today. And so that's why I wanted to end this message series with this as kind of the backdrop of where we are. We've been kind of lighthearted in some stuff. We've been very practical in some things. Last week we talked about bringing sexy back, and we talked about all the things that truly are sexy, right? And it was some of that was kind of lighthearted. But then this week it might be a little bit heavier, because this week I want to show you the seriousness of sex. I want to show you exactly what's going on, not just in the physical. I think we got that under control. It's what's going on in the spiritual, what's going on in your soul whenever sex is involved. Some of it is what God meant for, and some of it is not what God meant for. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. And the first thing I want to tell you today is that sex is a covenant. Everybody say covenant. Now, the cool thing about a covenant is this. That's not a bad thing. Sex being a covenant is not a bad thing. Sex is a covenant, really, of the soul. And so we talk about sometimes marriage, and you'll hear preachers say, you're not supposed to have sex outside the covenant of marriage, right? You've heard people say that before. And really, to be honest with you, in my opinion, while covenant is a good term for marriage, that is not really the covenant. Marriage is just a commitment. Marriage is just the ceremony. The covenant happens when sex is involved. Sex is a covenant of the soul. It's important for you to hear that today, because Jesus, let me tell you what Paul said, and then Paul quotes Jesus, who quotes the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two shall become one flesh." That word "joined" there, now Paul's talking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were some jacked up folks. The Corinthians were very good about, having spiritual gifts. They were very good about having a big crowd, a big service. Some people say that the Corinthian church could have been as large as 50,000 people. They didn't all meet in one building, of course. Nothing would have held them in that time. But we're talking about a massive group of Christians, a somewhat, from the outside looking in, powerful group of Christians. But they were infested with sexual sin. Infested with it. And so Paul's trying to write to them, and he's trying to help these guys out. And he's saying, listen, don't you guys understand? Y'all are sleeping around. You're sleeping with prostitutes. Don't you understand that the Scriptures say, and Jesus said, that whenever two people come together sexually, they become one person. They are tied. The Bible says here, he uses the word joined. That word "joined" there in the Greek means to be glued together. Have you ever, as a kid, maybe taken construction paper and glued the construction paper, take two pieces and stick them together? And then what happens? Whenever you try and pull the construction paper apart, you rip off pieces of one with the other. They are permanently stuck together. And Paul's saying here, he's saying that he uses a word, that word "joined" there means to be glued together. It also means to be soul knitted together, to have two souls knit together. It was used in other places. It was used when talking about friendships, that two people were so close as friends that it was like their souls were knit together. And Paul uses that to show us the power of the covenant of sex. Now, that power is great when it's within the realm of marriage, because that's what helps keep marriages strong. But when it's outside the realm of marriage, it becomes one of these things that could be more of a hindrance than a help. And I want to show you quickly, sometimes we look at that and we think, well, Pastor, you're just spitting out a lot of spiritual things. And I am spitting out a lot of spiritual things. But I want to show you something, that Jesus knew something 2,000 years ago that scientists are discovering today. Like we've got these scientific reports. I'm going to read you a little bit of science this morning. And this is something that we think is groundbreaking, that Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. Why? Because he made us, right? He made us. So let me read this to you real quick. It says, there are several neurochemical processes that occur during sex, which are the glue to human bonding. Interesting. It says, sex is a powerful brain stimulant. When someone is involved sexually, it makes him or her want to repeat that act. We'll talk about that in a minute. It says, their brain produces lots of dopamine, a powerful chemical which is compared to heroin on the brain. Dopamine is your internal pleasure reward system, and when dopamine is involved, it changes how you remember things. Interesting. It says the other part is oxytocin, which is designed mainly to help us forget what is painful. Oxytocin is a hormone produced primarily in women's bodies, and when a woman has a child and she is breastfeeding, she produces lots of oxytocin, which bonds her to her child. This is the reason that mothers are going to be willing to die for their children, because they've emotionally bonded due to the oxytocin that is released when they're skin to skin with their child. I don't know if any of you ladies have ever done that. Whenever Gabriel, my oldest, was born, they didn't do that. And I'm not sure about Emma, but when Colt was born here in Birmingham, the doctor said immediately they wanted to put him on Perry and have some skin-to-skin contact. And they said, as soon as we do, they said, it's going to help him. It's going to help his body temperature. It's going to help his heartbeat. It's going to help him just recover from the trauma that's going on. This is something chemical happening here. It says the same pheromone, a phenomenon occurs when a woman is intimate with a man. Oxytocin is released, and this makes her bond with him emotionally. So when a woman is intimate with a man, a chemical is released, multiple chemicals. One chemical is the dopamine, right? And it creates this pleasure, but it also makes it where you don't think the same way you usually think. You remember differently sometimes. But then another chemical is released that literally bonds her to that man emotionally. Emotionally. It says, we know now that that's because she's bonded him. It says, have you ever wondered why a woman would stay with a man who is abusing her? It says, we know now that it's because she is bonded to him emotionally because of the oxytocin released during sex. And this is the last part I think I'm going to read for you this morning. And it says, men produce vasopressin. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Okay, somebody knows. That's why I like having smart people in church. Men produce vasopressin, which is also referred to as the monogamy hormone. And it has the same effect as oxytocin has on a woman. It bonds a man to a woman. These bonding agents narrow our selection to one person, and that is wonderful in a marriage relationship, but really bad in a dating relationship because you lose your objectivity when searching for potential life mate. They go on to say in this article that the same chemicals are released whenever you watch pornography. The same chemicals are released when you watch pornography, and they say that most people, before they even turn off the computer or close the magazine, have already started to feel guilt and shame. And it says because you've got so much dopamine in your system that your brain immediately says, has to choose. Your brain goes into emergency mode and it has to choose. Do I choose to remember what good feeling I just had or the bad feeling I'm having right now? And they say that your brain will immediately try to forget the bad feeling. It'll immediately forget the shame and will go gravitate towards a good feeling and will remember everything that you just saw. Everything that you just saw. These are chemical things, folks. This is science we're talking about. We're not talking about the Bible here yet, right? We're not talking about the Bible. Jesus said this. He said, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, if you start looking at things, right, that you shouldn't be looking at, then what's going to happen is you're going to have a connection immediately on the inside, in the soul. Jesus knew about all this stuff before it ever came out. And today we need to take sex a little more serious. Today we need to take sex a little more serious. We need to stop using it as just something that's, you know, something out there. Oh, everybody's doing it. Oh, it's okay because everybody's doing it. Listen, sex happens outside of marriage. We think of that as something that happens in the world, but it happens in the church more than you imagine. We used to work at a place one time, and there was a lady there that was a singles pastor. She dealt with singles. And she told me one time, she said the single adults in the church are having more sex than the married adults in the church. And she said the difference is they think because it's not actual sex, they call it just oral sex or some other kind of experimentation, that because it's not the act of marriage, that it's okay. It's not really sex. It's just like kissing. But Jesus said if you're looking, he didn't even say anything about touching yet. He said if you just look at it, you're connected in the heart. If you just look at it, you're connected. So how much more? I know some of y'all are getting squirmy right now. Can we turn on the air? I'm starting to sweat. And I'm preaching. I'm looking at some of y'all just going, ugh. When's it over? Please let the timer run out. You'll make it, I promise. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts. Honestly, I'm not going to take long with this message today. A couple of thoughts real quick that you need to hear me say that will make a little bit more sense. Number one, I already said it was sex as a covenant of the soul. But that's why it's so important to do that in marriage. Whenever you make that covenant with somebody and you're not married to them, some people may say, well, what difference does it make? And that's a valid question. What difference does it make? Like if we're just having sex and it's just sex, what difference does it make if it's outside of marriage or inside of marriage? It's just love. If I love this person, right? What if I'm going to marry this person one day, right? So it should be okay. Can I tell you something? Number one, there's no guarantee you're going to marry that person, right? There's no guarantee. You don't know what's going to happen. And number two, what if you break up? Yeah, but Pastor, we love each other. You know how many people I've seen that love each other and then break up? Right? A lot of them love each other and break up. And what happens is whenever you make that kind of connection, you make it very difficult to break up, because whenever you do break up, you have to leave a part of who you are with that person. And that person leaves a part of who they are with you. Right? And so there's this what some people call a soul tie, right? There's this connection there, and it's hard to let go of. And you feel broken. I was reading in this study, they said that's why so many people will go from partner to partner to partner, because they feel so broken and so ripped apart whenever they break up with that person that they've been having sex with, and they feel so broken and ripped apart that they immediately try to find somebody, anybody, that can fulfill that place that was just ripped out of them. And the problem is that it will never fulfill that spot. And it turns into a vicious cycle that they just can't quit. Same is true with pornography. Pornography is one of those that once it gets its hooks in you and the chemicals are released, right? We talk about people that are addicted to stuff, right? And we talk about drugs and alcohol. And yeah, that's bad. But what about like chocolate? You know, what about, what about certain foods? And you're going to find these things. Well, it's the same chemicals are being released. And that's why you can't quit doing some things. That's why I tell people all the time I don't like M&Ms. But whenever I walk past one, I got to eat it. Right? It has released something in my brain when I was a kid that I like. And so these things get their hooks in you. And the second thing you need to remember is this, that sex makes a hashtag in your mind. So sex is a covenant in your soul, and it's a hashtag in your mind. Y'all are thinking, what's a hashtag? Have you ever, well, I know most of you have. But for those of you that aren't on like Twitter or Facebook or you know, any kind of social media, what a hashtag is simply this. It's whenever they put the pound symbol, right, in front of a word. Or for some of you folks, in front of like a sentence or your entire post. Please stop with the long hashtags. I can't read them. I cannot read them. I was looking yesterday at my boy Tim Carter, right? Beverly and Randy's son that went and run this race with me. And I was looking at one of his posts. His hashtags were longer than the actual words he had to say. He had 30 hashtags. I'm just reading hashtag after hashtag. And here's what a hashtag is, though. Whenever you hashtag a post in social media, it goes into this, let's call it like a server, but it goes into this big memory bank. And then anybody can go into, let's say, Twitter, and you can go up to the search, and you can search that hashtag. So, like, if everybody today decided to hashtag my name, right? Then after service, if y'all are all posting stuff with my name, then after service, you could go in and check my name on the hashtag, and it would bring up everything that anybody in the entire world has ever said with my hashtag on it. My name hashtag, which it wouldn't all be me, right? It'd be other Gabriels or whatever. And so it's one of those things that it's easy to search. As a matter of fact, TV has always been judged by the Nielsen ratings, right? But nowadays, they're starting to judge who's watching a certain show or who's watching a certain sporting event by the hashtags being produced on social media. And they've talked. I was listening to the radio the other day, and one of the things they said was, this baseball game produced like 1.4 million hashtags. And so what they're doing is they're judging. So here's what happens in your mind. Whenever you have a sexual encounter, whether that's actual sex or whether that's some kind of emotional, you know, you've seen something, you've done something, there's an emotional connection, your mind is so brilliant, that it immediately categorizes that thing, right? And it becomes a hashtag in your brain. And now anytime you see something or someone that's even similar to that, your mind will bring up every thought. Your mind starts searching those hashtags. And it'll bring up every thought that you've ever had that's similar to that. Have you ever noticed sometimes whenever you see a guy for the first time or a girl for the first time, you meet them, right? And you walk in and they say, hey, my name is Brian. And hey, Brian, how you doing? You shake their hand, right? And then you walk away and you immediately say, I don't like that guy. And like, how can you not like that guy? You just met him. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about that guy I don't like. And what it is in first grade, there was a kid named Brian, right? And he pulled your hair, and your brain remembers that. And so whenever you meet Brian, this other Brian, a different Brian, you hear the word Brian, I don't like that guy. I don't like bald guys with beards. I just don't like them, right? Because it was that one guy that time, right, that did that. And the same is true with sex, even more powerfully, because sex is not just a response to pain. It is a chemical thing that goes into your brain, and so your mind will remember. And that's why some of you struggle sometimes, even whenever you're flipping through Facebook or you're looking back through your old yearbooks, and you see that girl or you see that guy, and something starts to begin to rekindle inside of you, and your brain starts going crazy, and thoughts start coming in your head. It's amazing how many people leave their spouse because of Facebook. Why? Because they reconnect with somebody that they had a sexual encounter with years ago, and they can't get that out of their head. They can't get free from that thing. It's a hashtag. Sex creates a hashtag. I've shared my testimony many times, and many of you would share the same testimony, that there's oftentimes many of us, especially guys, we can remember anything we've ever seen or heard sexually, we can remember it, because it releases that thing in our head, right? It releases it. So there's something going on there. It's a hashtag. The other thing you need to hear today is that sex creates a pattern in your life. Sex creates a pattern in your life, and patterns create strongholds in your life. Everybody say stronghold. Stronghold. Now, a stronghold is very simple. Back in the Bible times, whenever they'd use this word, a stronghold might be just like a room or a series of rooms carved into a rock face. Right? And what a stronghold was, is it was a place, if you were being attacked by an enemy, you could run into the stronghold, and there would be windows, and you could shoot out of the stronghold, you could throw things out of the stronghold, but you were protected within the stronghold. And it was very difficult for anyone to attack you in the stronghold or to pull down the stronghold. There was a famous stronghold when Paul was writing that was literally an island out in the middle of the ocean, and they had gone in and created a stronghold out of it. And they would use it to store things and store people, you know, and it was amazing. And it was so difficult for anyone to ever attack or destroy this stronghold. Well, sex creates patterns, and patterns create strongholds in your life. Some of them good, some of them bad, right? So if you're married, sex creates a pattern in your life, and it creates a stronghold in your life that you and your spouse can run into and be protected when the enemy tries to pull you guys apart. And can I tell you something today? The enemy is going to pull you guys apart. Like, that's his goal, is to destroy marriages. That's his goal. So if you're sitting there today, we were talking to somebody the other day, I don't even know who Perry and I were talking to, and they were saying, you know, it's probably a good thing for married couples to, even if it's like once a month, to go to a counselor. Just to have maintenance. We'll take our car to get maintenance every 3 months, but we never do maintenance on our marriage, and it's far more important than a car. Nobody's amen because they're like, no, I don't want to say that. It's okay. Everybody say amen. 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 See, there, you got it. You got it. You had your chance. It's important for us to maintain things, and sex within marriage is part of that maintenance. Sex within marriage is something that bonds the two of you together so that the enemy can't break you apart. And it creates a stronghold in your marriage. I read a book one time about this, and they said the great thing about sex in marriage is that real sex in marriage forces the couples to talk. It forces you to talk. It forces you to have romance. Why? Because the man is going to do whatever it takes, right? Nobody's going to, amen. I know you're not. I know you're going to be quiet today, but the man's going to do whatever it takes, right? I will clean the room. I will buy flowers. I will straighten everything up. I will wash all the dishes. I will wash the car. I will wash the dog. Like, I will do anything. And the woman, right, it forces the woman now to talk to the man and interact with the man. And she tells him her needs, and he tells her, you know, and it's all this interaction and talking, and it creates this bond within marriage that's beautiful and it's strong, and it keeps the enemy out. But whenever you take that same exact thing outside of marriage, it creates that same exact bond between you and your partner. The problem is the enemy is the one building the stronghold that time. And these patterns begin to be set up in your life where the enemy comes in and builds a stronghold, and then you're trapped. You can't pull it down. You can't get out of it. You've got a lion on one side and a crocodile on the other, and you don't know what to do. You're just praying to God somebody kills you or you get released, right? I was just reading a news article. You know I like sports, And in liking sports, I read this article about, what's his name, Lamar Odom. Did anybody hear this about Lamar Odom? This is so sad. Lamar Odom is a former basketball player. His father was addicted to drugs and cocaine and was constantly missing. And Lamar Odom had started doing these same things. He had a wife, but he began to leave and they wouldn't hear from him for days and days and days. He would be strung out on drugs. And now just recently they found him in a brothel, face down, vomiting all over the place because he had consumed so many drugs and alcohol and was in this brothel and he was fighting for his life. They say now he's starting to recover, but it was touch and go there for a little bit. What happened? There were some patterns set up in his life, and marriage does not fix the patterns. We think sometimes, well, if I just get married, or ladies, you think if I can just get him locked down, right? He's going to be okay. Can I tell you something, guys and girls? Marriage won't fix your problems. It'll make it worse. You need to get right, and you need to get free now, and then worry about marriage later. But you need to get your mind back where it needs to be. These patterns and strongholds happen in the mind, and we need to get our mind set free. They happen in the soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we need to be set free today. And I've got good news for you. Today we're going to talk about how to be set free. Today we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to do it. Like, we're going to believe that God is going to set all of us free today. Because we've all had, if it's not a sexual encounter, you've had an emotional encounter. Sometimes we go to work and we see that guy, we see that girl, and there becomes this emotional connection, right? Sometimes we've got things in our past that we just can't forget, and we're trying to forget, and we want to do it all by ourselves because we don't want anybody to know that we're trying to forget something. But at the end of the day, we need God to come in and just break that stuff loose from us. And He wants to do that for you today. He wants to do that for me today. I'm not going to put anybody in a box today and say you're the only one. It happens to all of us. So let me tell you how we break those bad patterns. We break the bad patterns in a couple of ways. Number one, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, we've read this every week just about, it says this, don't conform anymore to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to take back our mind, right? We need to take back our mind. Stop conforming to the patterns of this world. Don't conform to the patterns you see on TV or you listen to on the radio. It's not realistic. It's not true. It doesn't really happen that way, right? sometimes we get stuck because we've seen so much stuff on TV or so much stuff on the internet that we've created a pattern in our mind, and then we think our spouse is supposed to fulfill that pattern. And that doesn't happen, folks. That's not real. That's not real. Half of the people on the internet are sex slaves anyway. It's not real. We've had this pattern where we've done all these things, and I was listening to somebody preach about this the other day, and it was so true. He talked about having this pattern in his life where he had to sneak around to have sex before marriage, right? All sex before marriage is sneaky. You don't just go around telling folks, right? If your mom says, hey, where are you going tonight? You're not going to say, well, we're going to go out and have sex. You don't do that, right? If you come back home and you just had sex and your dad says, hey, where have you guys been? Oh, we've been out, you know, we got a hotel room. We were having sex all night. I mean, just nothing, you know. You don't say that. Why? If it was my dad, he'd take out a gun and shoot me, right? And so it's one of those things you got to understand. It's always sneaky, and it's exciting because anything sneaky is exciting. Anything hidden is exciting. I love to sneak around, right? But the problem is whenever you get married and you don't have to sneak around anymore, now all of a sudden, where's that adventure? Where's that excitement? You've built a pattern of always having to sneak around. So then all of a sudden, whenever somebody at your job starts giving you the eye and, hey, we were talking and we were creating a relationship, and then all of a sudden it's more fun to kind of sneak around with this person at my job. Why? Because I've created a pattern. That pattern created a stronghold in me, and this is what I enjoy now. So you leave your spouse for this person at your job, but guess what happens? You get hooked up with this person, and now you don't have to sneak around anymore. The stronghold's still there. The pattern's still there. And so now I gotta sneak around again, right? And we create this cycle. We're always doing the same stuff. So we break the pattern by taking back our mind. The Bible says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Well, Pastor, how do I renew my mind? First, I feed my spirit. I feed my spirit. Someone said one time, your soul and your spirit are like two dogs in your body. The strongest one will be the healthiest one and the one that you feed the most, right? So we've got to make sure that we are feeding our spirit, man. Our spirit is what's connected to God. Our spirit is what the Bible says is joined with His spirit, right? And so we feed that spirit. Jesus said this, he said, man, in Matthew 4:4, he says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Old Testament says this, that the word of God is like bread for the eater, that we can consume the word of God. It's important for you to consume. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like reading the Bible. I'm not good at reading the Bible. Get it on tape. Or tape. We don't even have tapes anymore, right? That's hilarious. Why do we say that all the time? I've got it on my phone. I've got the Bible on my phone. I've got the Bible app. I can go in. I can listen to the Bible. If you can't read good, listen. Listen to the Bible. If you don't have a cell phone, get a CD. I've got CDs. I'll give you my Bible CDs. Do whatever it takes to feed your spirit with the Word of God. Listen to preachers. You may not want to listen to me again, but you can listen to somebody, right? So sometimes I'll be at the gym, and I know it's weird. I know it's not pumping me up, but I like to listen. I'll listen to other preachers. I'll come in my office sometimes, and I'll turn on a message while I'm working. Why? Because I just want to consume the Word. Why do I want to consume the Word? Is it because I'm spiritual and I'm better than everybody? No, it's because I'm weak, and I need to feed my spirit. I know I need to feed my spirit. So feed your spirit. Here's another thought on feeding your spirit is remember these two P words, praise and positive. Praise and positive. Listen to some praise and worship music. You know, sometimes you really need to think about the music you listen to because music makes connections in your brain too. And you need to think about some of the music you listen to. And I've really, as I've gotten older, have really started thinking about it. Like nowadays when I'm listening to stuff, I listen to more, you know, just music, just beats, right, than I do anything else. And then I'll listen to praise music and I think, well, that's not the cool thing to do. It doesn't matter what's cool at this point in my life. I want to be a great pastor and a great father and a great husband and a great man for God. I don't care if I'm cool anymore. I lost all my hair. Cool is gone. I'm not Vin Diesel, right? Cool is out the window at this point. I just want to be good. I want to have something going on where I'm changing someone's life. and listen to some of the stuff I used to listen to is so negative, it's not going to help me change anybody's life. It's going to put me in a state of mind that's very negative, very pessimistic. So think praise and think positive. Listen to some people that are positive. Get around people that are positive. Perry and I were talking about some folks one time that we used to be around, and I told him, I said, man, I told Perry, I said, I'm almost like about ready to slap one of these people. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, because every time I'm around, they're so negative. They're so negative about this and so negative about that. And I think I just want to slap them and show them a mirror and say, well, look at yourself. You're no better. You know what I mean? Like then I started getting negative, right? Put yourself around people that are always positive. We've got a lady, I substitute at Perry's school sometimes, and there's a lady that works there. Her name is Mrs. Porter. And I don't know if Miss Porter ever listened to this message or not, but Miss Porter is like sunshine in a human body. I mean, she is like the sweetest, kindest, most positive person you have ever met in your life. And as soon as you see Miss Porter, she's got the biggest smile on her face. Hello, Mr. Wright. It's so good to have you at school today. And then I'm just like when I first met her, I was like, you are not that sweet. Like, you've got a body in the trunk of your car right now. And Perry's like, no, she's always that way. She is just positive, and it's important for you. I know that sounds like some kind of speaker that you know, some kind of book you might read, but I promise you, if you will just put yourself around more positive people, you're going to help take back your mind. Because the more negative you are, the easier it is to feed it all that other mess. So feed your spirit. And then number two, starve your soul. Fasting starves the soul. One of the things at Gateway Family Church that we tell you all the time is fasting is not about food. And I truly believe that. Fasting is not about food. In Bible times, food was such a big deal, right? Food was the gathering place. Food was they didn't get together and watch a football game. They got together and ate. All the time. Like, food was a big deal. So fasting food for them was something. But for us, sometimes, there's some of us nowadays, because health is such a big deal in our society, fasting food is not a big deal. But I promise you, there are some other things that you can fast. And whenever you will begin to fast those things that really get connected to your emotions and really get connected to your feelings and really get connected to your mind, when you begin to fast those things, you're going to find yourself starving your soul. Paul said it like this in Ephesians chapter 5, and I promise I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, what he's saying there is, it's not just a message on wine. He's earlier talking about the will of God. He's saying here, he says, whenever you're getting drunk on wine, you're feeding your soul. It's all about how you want to feel. It's all about your brain and your mind and forgetting things. He said, don't. Keep feeding your soul, starve it, and feed your spirit. Fill it up with the Holy Spirit. The last thing we've got to do is we've got to remember not to fight alone. Don't fight alone. James chapter 5. I'm going to give you a couple of verses, and then we're going to be about ready to close. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Now, let me pause for just a second. James has already established in this passage of Scripture, he's already established that every one of us have issues. James says, is anybody sick? Is anybody troubled? And what he's saying is this, does anybody have a physical ailment that they need prayer for? Or do you have some kind of emotional, spiritual problem? When he says troubled, that's internal, right? So he says, do you have any external problems? Or do you have any internal problems? Now listen, if I were to go around and everybody were very, very honest with me today, I would bet money, lots of it, that every one of us have either A, an external problem, or B, an internal problem that you need God's help with. I've got both. Like I'm really bad, apparently, because I got both, right? And so you can look at everybody, and you know we all have problems. And so James is talking about, hey, if you got a problem, you got an issue, you better pray. Get with somebody. And so here's what James says in this verse. He says, therefore, confess your sins one to another, and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The power of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The Bible says if we confess our sins to God, we are forgiven. But whenever we confess to each other, we're healed. Sometimes we only go so far as to get forgiven of our sin, but we've never been healed of our sin. We've never been healed from the wound, right, that was left on us. never been healed from that thing, that part of our heart that was ripped out. We never got healed from it. We got forgiven. We got forgiven for the sex. We got forgiven for the issue. We got forgiven for the porn. But we never got healed for the wound that it left. And now you've got this gaping wound. I don't have a gaping wound today. I have a very small, very, very, very small little blister area right here where skin is no longer there, right? Yesterday we were running this race. As a part of the race, we had to do lots of pulling on ropes, lots of climbing on rings and monkey bars. And by the end of the race, my hands were just worn out. And so I got to the last obstacle, or one of the last obstacles, and it was a rope that you have to climb all the way up the rope. The problem is there were no knots in the rope. It was just a straight rope. Now I'm not as tough as some of you, and so climbing a straight rope was hard. So I'm getting up there, I'm climbing that rope, and it was slow, and my feet kept slipping. I couldn't grip with my feet, so it's just all hands. I mean, just all hands going up this rope. And I finally just fell. I mean, I rang the bell. I did it. But then I fell off the rope, right? I just jumped down, and I looked at my hand, and the piece of skin on my finger was just laid open. And that's not a big deal. I promise you it's not a big deal. Except even though it's small, where it's located, everything I try to grab now hurts. And what happens with us is we may think that sin was small, and the hole it left is small, but you'll start noticing relationships will hurt. Things people say will hurt more than it should. And you're thinking, but that was so small. Why does this hurt so bad? Because it doesn't take much to feel pain. All it takes is an open wound. All it takes is for that callousness to be removed, and all of a sudden, it hurts. Today, God wants to heal. He wants to heal. How do we get healed? We get healed by each other. We help heal each other. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Let me just read it to you. I'm going to just scan over it. Basically, God's speaking to the Israelites, or speaking to Judah, and he's telling them, he's saying, why do you still insist on doing things your way? Why do you insist on rebelling, right? Rebellion is doing it your way. He says, well, you've got this wound. Your whole head is sick and your heart is faint. And he says, from the soles of your feet even to your head, there's no health. You've got bruises everywhere and sores and raw open wounds. And they're not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. In other words, God's speaking to his people and he's saying, why do you continue to live with open wounds and broken bones? Why don't you let somebody heal you? And it says, why don't you let somebody wrap you up and put oil on you? Oil there is a type of healing. We know it as also a type of the Holy Spirit, where God himself wants to heal you. Luke chapter 10 talks about the Good Samaritan. And what did the Good Samaritan do? He found a man hurting and broken in a ditch and took the man out of the ditch and poured oil on his wounds and bound him up. Some of you today, you've been sitting in church for a long time, and it's like sitting in a ditch. You've been hurt for so long, and you won't let anybody help you because you're too embarrassed to let somebody pray for you. You got too much pride to let somebody pray for you. I know that's true because I've been there. I've been there. And when I started preaching, I started realizing how flawed I was. And I started thinking, you know what? I can't just be so prideful as to think that I'm perfect. And I can't be so prideful as to worry about what everybody else thinks. If there's an open wound, I need somebody to help me heal it. And so whenever the pastor would ever give an opportunity for somebody to get prayed for, I would be the first one down there. Why? Because I know I need people. Don't fight alone. The last thing I want to share, I'm going to show a little video, is this. The Bible says that Peter was arrested in Acts chapter 12. He was arrested. And Peter was going to be killed. They killed his best friend, and they were about to kill him. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Peter was bound with chains. He was locked behind multiple doors. And they said he was even bound to like eight men. Like they had men in the room with chains on them and chains to Peter. They did not want Peter to escape. And it says, but the church was praying. And they were praying for Peter. And the Bible says that as the church was praying, that in the middle of the night, an angel showed up in the room. And when the angel showed up, he literally had to hit Peter to wake him up. And the Bible says that the chains fell off of Peter. And the angel told Peter to quietly get dressed and let's go. And as they walked, every gate and every door was flung open. Why didn't that happen for James? James was murdered. Why didn't that happen for James? I don't know. Maybe that's all part of God's plan, or maybe the church wasn't praying. Maybe they left James alone. But they were praying for Peter. And Peter got set free that night. Can I tell you something? Wednesday night, we were in here praying for you. Wednesday night, we were in here praying for you. And we were praying for everybody that would have any kind of connection, everybody that would have any kind of hashtag, everybody that would have any kind of pattern or any kind of stronghold, that it would be broken and that they would be set free. When everybody came back to the baby, I thought the baby was dead at first. I thought when those lions had pounced on that baby that the baby was gone. But what happened? What happened when everybody gathered around, when the whole church showed up, when the whole church said, we're not leaving one man behind, we're not leaving that baby behind, all of a sudden, not only did they throw the lions off, but the baby stood up and got back in the mix with all the other water buffaloes. Can I tell you today, there's some of you, you're like that baby. You're being ripped apart today by the enemy. But we are here today to surround you. We are here today to love you and to pray for you. And we are believing today that God is going to set you free. Why don't you stand up with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.